Lord, you've heard our voices severally this morning, and we thank you for the grace to be in your presence again. But for your life, your breath in our nostrils, health in our bones, food in our belly, Father, we would not be able to attend church this morning. Thank you, but for your spirit in our souls, we would not know that it is proper to put aside some time to worship you. Your word says the people will worship their God. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you. You do this all the time, my Lord, week after week, year after year. We are counting decades. And not by our effort have we kept ourselves alive, but by you. And these Sundays, O Lord, mark the altar, a testament. Father, many you've given life and goodwill, the span of days. But to us in particular, you've given the gift of gratitude, the gift of revelation and knowledge that all things are from you. We thank you for giving us the grace to participate in this ritual of worship of the only true God. Father, we thank you. Father, I know that there's nothing that I can say that's never been said. There's nothing that's going to happen in the last 30 minutes that's going to be new. But when you breathe upon it, everything becomes new. The glory, the power, the majesty, the insight, the knowledge, the understanding, the honor, the beauty, they are exclusively from you. Bless my lips. Bless the heart that hear me. Holy Spirit, please do not forget my heart as well. I just pray that these next 30 minutes will be consecrated to you, that it will please you to make your word clear. And sweet Spirit, please be pleased to remind us again, as it's been written, that you bring into our remembrance all things whatsoever Christ has taught us. Father, this is our desire in the next 30 minutes. Let it be so, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. So, welcome everybody again. Last week we asked ourselves a simple question, that who is the best of your perfume reserved for? Remember that? Those of us who joined online. And we were talking about who? What story? The woman with the alabaster oil with spikenard and all of that. And she had a year's wage worth that she had spent a whole year's salary on. And she felt it best that the best use for this perfume was to somehow break that precious alabaster thing and anoint the Lord Jesus Christ with it. And so insensible was what she did that the spiritual people around, twice, this breaking of perfume and anointing by a woman happened twice in the Bible. And both times, the people who were really spiritual there, the first time, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, who should have known better, but rationally, it appeared to be a waste. And they said it. Well, we later realized that the usual rascal, Judas, was the one that did it, that initiated the revolt. That this perfume, a whole year's worth, could have been put to better use than to anoint the head of one man with it. For instance, it could have been sold, and the money could be used to feed the poor and do some really great things that Christians are supposed to be doing. The second time it was a man, Simon, called again. That there were lots of Simons in this story. He was a Pharisee, and his own complaint was about the kind of woman that was busy anointing the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. If this man truly, he invited the Lord Jesus to lunch or dinner. I don't think it was breakfast. So you think that he was Christ's friend. But no. It's not everybody that has Jesus sitting in front of them that is a friend of Jesus. Because his mouth was saying something else, but his heart was saying something else about Jesus. His heart was saying, if this man was truly a prophet as he professes to be, he would know that the woman anointing his feet with oil is nothing more but a prostitute. But of course, Pharisees busy themselves with discovering who is a prostitute or who is a homosexual or who is not. That's their religion, moralization. And there are lots of Pharisees in our days, busy ourselves with picking sinners from sinners so that we, in comparison with them, might be found righteous in our own sight. But the Lord Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, looked at the man and called him by name. In his heart, this man called the Lord this man. But the Lord called him by name. And we specified last week that no hiding place, Jesus knows you by name. Simon, when I entered your house, did you wash my feet? Was I special enough for you to wash my feet? No, sir, I did not wash your feet. The washing of feet is meant for illiterates. It's meant for poor people. He didn't say this. I'm just adding it. I'm adding context to this scripture. So I did not wash your feet when you entered my... Did you anoint my feet with any perfume or oil? No, I didn't. But yeah, I didn't. This woman, since I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet and wash my feet and anoint. And the Lord concluded us and said to him, you see, those to whom much is forgiven, they tend to love a great deal more. Those who feel some are entitled to salvation will not love that way. The Lord did not accuse the Pharisee of not loving. He just said, your degree of love is way less. And I understand. Of course, you don't think you've been forgiven more. You fast 5 days a month, or however they fasted in those days, twice a week, 8 times a month. So you think you have been forgiven less. So I understand the kind of love you have for me. But truly, all of us have sinned, collectively, desperately depraved, irredeemably lost, but for the coming of the Messiah. Our death so great that none of us, no one in heaven on earth, underneath the earth, was found worthy except the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We were cut off, alienated from the people of God, from the commonwealth of God. Before the Lord Jesus, there were great fathers and great men and great husbands and great wives and great people, great workers, great architects, great engineers, great philosophers, great people. But there was no righteous person. And Jesus came to make us righteous. Much has been forgiven us. So in the light of much that has been forgiven us, the question that Christ had for you and I is not, do you come to church? How much have you done? How much are you doing? The question that the Lord asked us last week is, you have this precious perfume in your house. Are you reserving it for parties? Is it reserved for your governors? Who is your best reserved for? In my case, I think 30, 35 more years, I should be ready to go. Who knows? That's if I'm lucky to have that much. Maybe 40. Okay. I can hang around till I'm 40. Maybe. I look at grandma and it gives me hope that 80s are pretty good. So maybe we'll rock it till 80s. Okay, you're pushing it. But for the remnant of days, but I do not speak to you, little children, like you are kids anymore. The Holy Ghost is in you. You are more than able to understand the hidden things of Jesus. And may the Lord interpret it to you. It's the same gospel that goes to you, that goes to your parents, and the same Savior and the same Jesus. May the Lord give you understanding. So that was what we talked about last week. And it's still valid. Sister Folake, it was Brother Peter Bejide that made me think about that topic from last week. Sister Folake Adeleke also shared something in the house fellowship that I'm going to be forced to start this sermon with. That passage is in Simi, or whoever is in charge there, can you please help me open to Luke 17, 6 to 10? To whom is the best of your perfume reserved? For whom? Maybe can we read it? Right? Was that the passage you shared? No, no. 17 from Luke. Is that Luke? Go to 7. Did I get your passage wrong? Okay, good. It's the story. So, Sister Folake, this gem has been hidden in God's word for centuries. I don't know whether you've heard a sermon preached about this. I think I've read a few books on this, but it's been a long time I had a sermon preached on this topic. So I'm going to read it real quick. Simi, you're going to scroll one verse at a time. So this was Christ, our Lord, telling a story. And remember, our topic last week is, who have you reserved your best for? My topic this week follows up from the week before then that says, let us finish strong. We're so fixated with beginning the Christian race that I don't think enough attention is being put on how you finish. And the end of a matter is always more important than the beginning, because it's not everybody that starts a race that finishes it. Our Lord Jesus was really very particular, and also his apostles, about how we finish. We are very, very happy when a soul comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, but to guide that soul so that the ultimate reward of salvation will be theirs is a much more difficult task. That's the difference between evangelizing and discipleship. And I think we've learned a lot about both in this church. I said, one of the saddest things I've seen in my Christian walk is when I meet someone that I used to know in the Lord, and then they are cold decades after the fact. Or the excitement about Jesus is no longer there. And this has become a pandemic within the church. With the passage of time, you would expect that knowledge, as knowledge grows, love will grow. The passion for Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, will grow. But what you find is that with the layering of doctrines and teachings and distractions and trials and temptations, what has tend to happen is backsliding and coldness happens. So, in his inimical way, the Lord Jesus Christ said this. And he said so many things in his gospel that I've always prayed that we will burn every Christian book and spend more time reading the red letter words, because they are so much more simpler to read than Augustine and all the things, and the Piper and all these people that we read. Those red letter words are so much easier, but they also challenge us. Here's one of them. And which one of you, that was the Lord talking, right? Can you color the text red, Simi? No, okay, don't worry. This is Christ. And the less Wale says, the more I allow the Lord Jesus to talk, I think the more the Holy Ghost we have to use on each of our hearts. So the Lord told this story, and every story of the Lord is to teach us a life lesson. He said, which one of you, if you have a servant — we don't do servants these days. What can we do? What do we have? If we were in Nigeria, it would be easier. There are servants there. Waka Baragbenga says, yes. Okay, servants are paid, right? They are paid employees. Okay. I was going to say, if you have a driver. So I want us to really personalize this. We're going to close. We're not going to take your time. If you have a servant plowing and tending sheep, because, you know, agrarian sheep, whatever environment they lived in, we don't do that here. Will you say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? Don't go to the next verse. I want us to be very honest about this. Who will answer? It's not hypothetical. I think it was a hypothetical question because, Bob, we're going to make it an actual question here. You have a staff that you pay. You hire them. You've been at work with them. You both come in from the office. If you have a nanny, yes, you've all been busy keeping the baby all day and all of that. And you've come in, it's a full day of work. Will you say to your nanny, come at once, sit down to eat? Let's be truthful now. It's not a test. It's real. Jesus meant it to be real. Hey, Peteru! You'll do that, Kenny. No, I mean, you'll be kind to them. But sincerely, a scenario where you've just had a full day's work, both of you have just come in. I know, but I think the picture Christ was painting was slightly different. It might not be nanny, right? That's why we know. Identify with it. Okay, let's use the Lord's example. I think it's easier. I can't think. Okay, I want to use, but because we are not Nigerian, the driver example in Nigeria will be perfect. You've been on a long journey together, okay? Both of you are wiped out. You just drove in. Brother, good. Brother Debo, yes. Your driver you just went to Abuja. You went all over the Pragbenga. You too, you are going to soon start doing. Yeah, you soon that you'll be assigned official driver soon. So, you already have. Okay. I think he might be the wrong person to ask a story about him and his servant. So I don't think his story will work for us. Jesus was actually painting a reality of service and a reality in their community. When you have a servant that you pay, you've been out tending the sheep together. He said, which one of you will say, come in, eat, sit down to eat. Come at once, sit down to eat. And I think the picture the Lord wanted to paint here is even the boss preparing the meal. That's the picture that he's painting. You've been working so hard. Oh, come, let me go to the kitchen. Like you maybe do to your boss or you do to your wife. You know how New Covenant men, Asville men, are fantastic men, the way we do to our wives, the way we take care of you guys. You know, yeah, I mean, don't think Christ is saying that's not normal. I know you guys are used to it, but it's not, you know how we treat you. It's not a normal thing. Sister Kemi, not everybody does that. So you guys might not relate with this story, but we do. In reality, if you had a servant, will you? No, you wouldn't. Go to the next verse, Simi. But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk? Afterward, you will eat and drink. That's not unreasonable. It's not punishment. He's paid to do that. Right? So that's the Lord was not chastising anybody here. He was just describing the reality of how life rolls. When my driver, I don't have one, but when Bragbinga's driver drives him in, he doesn't say, bring your suitcase. No, it will be the driver that will collect Bragbinga's suitcase and take it in there and say, oh, guy, is everything okay? Everything is okay. Can I go home now? We first go and fill the tank, then you can go home. See you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. That's the way it works. Bradebo, that's the way it works. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? Don't let me come at you. Because I'll just call OCS teachers for you now. The Lord said, I think not. It's not just the way things go. Next verse. In the same way, even when you have done all things which are commanded, this is the attitude that I want you to have. This is not me, brothers and sisters. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, who has the right to, who died, telling you the attitude he wants you and I as disciples to have. If you have never learned this from today, learn this. Because we live in a generation that really is satisfied with commending themselves. We live in a generation that we have been taught how so important we are to God's work and how much we have done. So I hear people say, my flock, my church, my ministry, my this, my that. In fact, you hear people say, do you know how much he has done for the Lord? I've gone too far to look back. I don't know the second line. If you do not read anything, brethren, like the back of your hand, know every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, like the back of your hand. He said, this is what I want. This Jesus is not an option. It's a teaching from the Lord. We have to take it and apply it to our lives. We have to use the words of Jesus to condition our hearts. The only way not to go astray is to use God's word and make sure no matter from which direction you are coming, you are aligned. That's actually what it means to learn from the Lord. We are all going to come from different experiences, different knowledge, different teaching, different. But once you encounter the words of Jesus, it should be the Lord has spoken. This is what the Lord said. And these are some, and there are so many of them. This is one of the gems that we preserve our hearts. We will not make the mistakes that many are making today. Listen, one of the saddest thing I know are people who are mentors in the Lord. And this is what they have gotten wrong. That over the years, they have become lords in of themselves. And make no mistakes. These people have made sacrifices while you and I were in sin. While you and I were doing whatever we want. There are some of these people sold their house. They sold their car. The whole community, they were worthy. They had done a lot of things that you and I cannot even begin to imagine in the generation that God called them to do. They are not bad people. But some of them forgot this. Peter never forgot this. Paul never forgot this. That's the difference between Peter, James, John, and some of us in this generation. They finished strong. But you cannot finish strong when you think you've accomplished. So here Jesus was teaching us a condition of heart. He said, do not say, this is what, even when you have raised the dead, when you have fed the poor, when you have prophesied all the prophesying, when you have started ministries, when you have spoken to millions, what is it that, what do you want to do for God? See you looking at me. Shaitan. What's the aspiration for Christ? All your economics, what do you want to use it to do for Jesus? No, you're just lying down and thinking about ministry. Just give me. We all have. You haven't talked about it much. Okay, next time I'll ask you. What does anybody have a vision? I know Sister Kemi wants to sing in that Spirit and Life and Life and Sound. What do you call it? I know her vision is to sit on that stage one day and be one of the. Even when Sister Kemi has conducted any. Someone else, give me your spiritual aspiration. Anybody? There was a time I wanted to write books. I wanted to write the kind of books that, wow. Until I actually started writing one. It's still in the manuscript. The Lord told me, someone already wrote that. Someone volunteering. Aspirations in Christ. Some of us want to build orphanages. You also want to build orphanages. Yeah? You want your aspiration. Some of us, I know Brakunle's aspiration is that no orphan will ever go hungry. He has a heart for that. Even if you have, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, done the best. This is what Jesus says. We're going to close on this. This will preserve you every day. It will stop you from being. You see, it's all about finishing. It's not how you start. It's the state in which the master finds you when he comes. Remember the 12 virgins. They were virgins. They were virgins. They were clothed alike. They were waiting. They slept, all of them. They all had lamps. They were dressed for the groom. But what was the difference? The state that the trumpet met them. Finishing strong. This will preserve you. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants to teach New Covenant Church that it's not yet time to congratulate yourself. The Lord said, do you know how I walk? I just look at my Father as he's walking and walking. As long as there's work to be done, I live to satisfy my Father. Can you imagine that you know from birth what you came on earth to do? Have you ever thought about this? Not only though you have the privilege of knowing you're going to spend only 33 years on earth, and you don't start doing what you're supposed to do until age 30. And you have the power to do whatever you want to do. I think many of us would have jump-started that ministry at 12. You would have had a justification by Josiah. You look at Josiah, you quote the prophets, and you say, I have the power, I have the... Why am I wasting? What was the Lord doing for 30 years? Just waiting on the Father. And on the day, 30 years, on the day it was time to do ministry, he was led, not of himself, but of the Holy Ghost into the wilderness. You must serve at the pleasure of God. Don't serve at the pleasure of men. If the Lord says sit, sit till you die. There will be more joy for your soul if you serve the Lord on his own terms. Not on the terms of the church. Many people are busy, 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 busy. But it's all dead works. Because it is what God tells you to do that matters. I have news for you. It is also how God says you should do it that matters. All of this evidence, I don't want to keep you there in the Bible. The Lord is not just particular about what, because he can do whatever he wants. He's also particular about how. It dictates the method. So here's what Jesus said. And this is why it's important. Anytime I'm speaking to people or encouraging or being rebuked by the Spirit, it's so important to remind ourselves, please, everything, have a habit of asking, what did Jesus say about it? When you are confused about what Paul said about it, if you are confused about what Peter said, just ask, what did Jesus say about it? He has a way of just breaking stuff up. It might be hidden in a parable, but if you seek it out, you will find it. Jesus, the same yesterday, today. We have relegated the Lord to the background. Whereas all glory, all honor. In fact, this whole thing is about Jesus. This whole thing is not about you. the Lord can of stones makes children unto himself. At times we glorify a childhood of God to God. He can save anybody. It is about his glory. And in his glory, he has chosen to save us. Praise the Lord. That's why we are servants. We are servants. Jesus said, this is what I want you to, this is the mindset I want you to say. No matter what brothers and sisters say, we are just unprofitable servants. I've only done what is expected of me. Tell me, which one of you would not want to have a staff like this? A cook that you say, you're so fantastic. You're so wonderful. Hey, I'm going to, you say, madam, I'm only doing my job, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. You can't do that. Sit down, ma'am. I'm only doing my job, ma'am. Wow. Or you have a driver that brings you home. You have a driver that brings you home from a long journey. You're exhausted. It's exhausted. You say, man, you have children at home. You have everything at home. You know what? The traffic is so bad. You're already in the estate. Just get down, catch an early bus, you know, and go home, right? I'll take it from here. I say, oh, God, no. It's my job to deliver you to your house. And you say, no, come on. No. I say, no. Oh, God. And delivers you. And then you wake up for an early appointment the next day and you find this man sitting, the car is washed and ready to go again. How many of you would not like to have a driver? Is Jesus less demanding of our service? I mean, less deserving. So it's not just about serving God. The attitude in which you serve him matters. It's not just about praising God. The attitude in which you praise him matters. You cannot offer to the Lord a gift like we say in Yoruba land with the left hand. It's a figurative way. You know, they consider it in Yoruba land rude when you give gifts with the left hand. Till today, my left hand is still useless in giving us. I find myself passing. I haven't gotten over that cultural hurdle. I'm still pastor. And that's a problem in our generation. It's not that we don't believe, we don't worship. And I wonder whether this sacrifice is acceptable to the Lord. There's volume of sacrifice, or the quality of it. Does it matter, brethren? I always say that to myself. Lord, how does the Lord feel about this? Let us pray. I don't know. I really need help singing this song. I just want to be where you are. Someone with a multitude of voice.
I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. Take me to the place where you are. dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Oh no, draw me near to where you are. I want to be where you are. In your presence, feasting at your table,
surrounded by your glory. In your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be with you.
Oh, Father. Righteousness will come like a stream, like a mighty stream. Judgment will come like water and heat from above. How long? Bless your name. We're flawed. I'm incredibly flawed. For thy glory is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is the right scepter. How long? Let your kingdom come and your will be done in our hearts in the same way that it's done in heaven. Confess my sin, the sin of my generation. My coldness, my slackness, my sluggishness. I do not deny your power, for you can do all things. Please be merciful to us, O Lord. Let truth, peace, joy, righteousness, which is the kingdom of God, with the Holy Ghost, let it cover you. Please speak to us, Father. Give us the grace to stop playing games.
Amen. Amen.